This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. As beautiful as the animals are, deer have become not just a nuisance, but a real danger in many neighborhoods, especially during mating season. Overpopulation and dwindling natural habitat have forced more deer into yards and out onto roads and highways, and they're an increasing cause of vehicle accidents across the country. But there seems to be little consensus on the proper way to reduce and control deer populations. Joining us this afternoon to discuss a plan to manage the deer population in one part of Cincinnati are Lori Briggs and Christine Lottman, two of the founders of CliftonDeer.org, an organization working to implement the plan known as the Clifton Deer Program, Cincinnati Councilmember Chris Seelbach, and Dr. Jeff Newman, the lead veterinarian on a deer sterilization program in Virginia that was organized by White Buffalo Incorporated, a wildlife management company. And you can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And thanks, everybody, for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Chris, just how bad is the deer problem in Cincinnati?
Well, I mean, I think most people will tell you that they've had, instances where deer are eating their garden, or, that they've had accidents with them. And, the people of Clifton, we've been talking for months, or maybe the last year, about the fact that, it was legal to kill deer with a bow and arrow or a gun. And in such a dense urban neighborhood, that presented a problem for a lot of people. Having children come across a deer who may not have been fully killed from the gun or the bow and arrow. And so we've been having a conversation for a while about what we can do different to manage our deer population and perhaps do it in a more humane way.
Lori and Christine, talk about why there's a need for this. And Clifton, you're right on top of Mount Airy Forest, so I guess that plays a big role in the number of deer in the area.
We live right next to Mount Storm Park, and the deer population, the good news is the deer population isn't as out of control as it is in Mount Airy. But when the city has tracked it in the last 2 years, it has grown 30% in 1 year. Basically, the deer population is really breeding well. So even though we know we have an overpopulation problem, and frankly, it's not good for the community, it's not good for the deer themselves to be this overpopulated, and it's certainly not good for the ecosystem. Jim Godby at the Park Board is the real expert on the ecosystem damage that deer caused, and he wrote a very nice article for our website so that gives a lot of information on that. But basically, we are convinced that something needs to be done. We want that something to be both effective and humane.
Christine, so what kinds of things are you seeing in Clifton? I mean, what kinds of damage are the deer causing?
Well, it depends on where we are and what folks are doing. We've got the good news is that we have a multifaceted opportunity to make a difference. So we have our deer sterilization program that is designed to bring the deer population levels down to a manageable, ecosystem-friendly level. We're looking at bringing the deer down we want about 15 to 20 per square mile. Okay, so we're going to be looking at probably about a 50% reduction over time. And that's what our project is designed to do. And I think the other thing we've been doing in the neighborhoods is paying more attention to how we can deal with this urban deer problem that's across the nation. And so not in our backyard for tulips, because the deer love them. So it's a matter of doing a number of things to make this system function well.
Chris, did you say that hunting had been used in Clifton, or it was a means it could have been used?
It was an option. And it definitely was used. I mean, we've heard stories where, a deer will be shot from an arrow and lying in someone's yard. And, that's not something that you want your children or even many adults would like to see. I mean, no one wants animals to be in pain and suffering. And so, there is another option. And that's kind of the option that we're here to discuss, which is, sterilizing these deer so that they do not have children or fawns, And that in itself prevents the overpopulation of deer in a very humane way. And, you know, we're doing this through private funds. It's not city tax dollars. We're raising money to bring in the experts who know how to do this. And it's a very safe, fast process. And we think one that will be better for Clifton and perhaps for other cities around the country.
And Jeff is one of these experts, correct?
That's right.
Jeff, describe the program that's going to be used in Clifton.
Well, what happens is the deer are darted in the field and then brought into a facility to have the surgery. When we actually do the surgery, it's very similar to what we would do for a dog or a cat that's being spayed. We remove the ovaries. It's not entirely the same as dog and cat, but it's similar in its approach. The procedure lasts anywhere from 20 to 30 minutes, and they recover well afterwards.
Now, where else have you used this method, and how successful has it been?
Well, I've been involved in Fairfax City, Virginia, and we've had a project going on there for the last 2 years, and it's actually been a collaborative effort. We've had lots of members from the community come in, and it's gone very well. We've had very good success. It's been very efficient, and we are looking forward to doing probably the third, and I believe that will be the final project this coming winter.
And it seems to work pretty well. Is that what you're finding?
We're really happy with the results in Fairfax City.
Now, Lori, Chris was mentioning earlier about the idea of hunting as a way of reducing the population. Why not go that route? Why would you and Christine say, no, that's not a good option for Clifton?
Well, I want to be clear that our group, CliftonDeer.org, we're not anti-hunting. We are pro doing what works in the unique situation of urban parks. So there are certainly areas and of Ohio where the approach we're taking here probably wouldn't be as good as hunting. But for many of the reasons that Chris described, this is an approach that seems to fit an urban, small urban environment. It's another tool in the toolbox for the park system because they struggle with this. They have to protect our ecosystem and they need as many workable tools as they can. The really cool thing and what may make this actually work better than bow hunting, and we're excited to try to find that out, is that with bow hunting or any type of hunting, you really can never stop because the remaining deer, you kill some deer, but the remaining deer are going to be giving birth. This, by removing the ovaries of the doe population, you immediately stabilize the deer herd. Those does will never give birth again. And so you haven't immediately reduced the population, but you've stabilized it. And then there's a natural attrition over time, usually 10 to 20% per year. You can make these more short-term projects rather than the never-ending hunting that many communities see without actually ever getting down to the levels of deer population that you need.
So you would say this is a long-term solution to the problem then?
Absolutely. We sure hope so. Yes, that is what this research will – hopefully it will actually achieve eco-sustainable deer levels. And we're optimistic based on the research being done around the country that can happen and that's certainly the goal.
Jeff, we're talking about we're spaying the does. Is it more difficult to neuter the bucks? Is that why you go after the does in particular, if I'm using the correct terminology there?
Yeah, you're using the right terminology. When we start looking at trying to do the bucks, it actually can affect the shedding of their antlers, and so it's probably not ideal to be pursuing that. It probably would be easier to do a neuter for a male than a variectomy for a female, but it's still not a hugely difficult procedure to do for most veterinarians.
if I can just add on to what Jeff said, that was, I think, our first question of, gee, why not neuter the bucks? And what we were told by Dr. DiNicola at White Buffalo is that the does tend to live within a mile from where they were born their entire lives. The bucks travel. And so unless you can get every single buck in a wide geographic area neutered, even if you get 99 out of 100, that one unneutered buck will travel from deer herd to deer herd and can impregnate as many does as a lot of bucks put together, and you've decreased genetic diversity, but you haven't reduced the birth rate. So it sounds good, but it practically doesn't work very well.
Christine, how did you find out about White Buffalo and decide to go with them as the organization to do this research?
Oh, that's a good question, Mark. We started from square one. We knew we wanted to investigate something as an alternative, a non-lethal alternative. We started just doing the research. What other programs are there nationally? Because, as we mentioned, it's a national issue. It really isn't. It's not going to go away. So we happened upon a woman named Enid Feinberg down in Maryland, who was, I think, on her second or third year into their program. And we called Enid, and she is a force. She's just wonderful. But she had been working with Dr. DiNicola and White Buffalo for 2 years now. She talked about the professionalism. She talked about his gentleness. She talked about his research interests. So we did explore a number of possibilities, but when we sieved it all down, it was clear that for our park and for our situation, this would be the best choice.
Jeff, what about chemical forms of birth control? Why not go that direction?
Could you repeat that question?
Yeah, what about chemical forms of birth control for the deer population? Why not go that direction?
Well, that's something that needs to be repeated every few years, and the challenge is to be very specific and know that you're re-darting the same deer every 3 years. You would likely have to have an ear tag. In order to ear tag, they would have to be anesthetized. So you're already going through a lot of expense and an effort to do something that you would just have to, that you could go ahead and do a surgical procedure and never have to revisit that deer again.
Another factor, in addition to what Jeff mentioned, is that the chemical contraceptives right now aren't 100% effective. And we really need, when we're already starting with more than twice the level of deer we need, we're climbing a steep hill to reduce that deer level, so we really need that 100% effective rate to solve the ecological problems.
And aren't there more regulatory issues if you go the chemical route?
There can be. There are different kinds of contraceptives, and some have regulatory issues that others don't. But yes, we thought that the one time use of sterilization, the fact that it doesn't have to be repeated, and the fact that it's 100% effective, were really sold us on this approach.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the conversation. And, you know, Chris, Cornell University tried sterilizing does, and the number of does and fawns, they did go down. But the sterilized does still went into heat. They went into heat more often, and they were attracting bucks from miles away. So they got this unintended consequence from sterilization. But then on the other hand, you have communities that have tried archery, hunting as ways to control the deer population. In terms of numbers, it works, but they still see increases in deer-related vehicle crashes. So I'm just wondering, do examples like those just show just how tricky it really is to control the deer population and manage the deer population? And can you ever do it? Maybe Jeff knows more about that than we do, but
I don't think it really makes me wonder. There's no silver bullet to solve this problem, but, you know, I think that this, you know, the possibility of, you know, the attraction of, you know, of more deers, which would increase the population. I think that's less likely, than just, you know, killing all of the deer or something like that. So, I mean, you know, this isn't a perfect solution. There's still going to be deer in Clifton, but we think it's one that is worth a shot. The people of Clifton have bought into it. It's something that works for their neighborhood, and it's a humane way. You know, and as I said, you know, we're doing this through private fundraising. And so people should check out cliftondeer.org for much more information, and also if they'd like to donate to our campaign to make sure that we are doing this a humane way.
So no city money whatsoever?
No city money, only my time, which doesn't come for any, doesn't cost anything.
Uh-huh. And Mark, we would also like to sort of minimally address the Cornell issue. We don't want folks thinking that we're duplicating their process. Theirs was tubal ligation.
Okay.
And that isn't what we're doing. So it's not apples to apples at all.
Yeah, because with tubal ligation, the deer continue to go into heat,
right,
which does attract the bucks. So that was one of the factors that is different in our program, and one of the reasons the Cornell experience is one of the reasons why we opted against tubal ligations for that very reason.
And Jeff, what's your take on all this?
I definitely think that doing ovariectomies is a better way to approach this problem than doing tubal ligation for that reason.
So why Clifton, Chris? Why are we starting here?
Well, you know, Clifton came to us. So we started having people, meetings with people probably almost a year ago, saying that we think this is a problem. And we want your help, your advice, your thoughts on how we can solve this problem. And there's been many conversations through Clifton Town Hall meeting and other neighborhood leaders about, you know, what are all of our options, including sterilization, including birth control, including hunting. And what is the best option for us as the people of Clifton? And so, you know, just like any other neighborhood or community leader, usually if they have an idea or they think there's a problem, then they come to talk to the people that represent them on their on their government. We've been working together to try to figure out a solution to that problem with our park board, with these and these leaders. And so, you know, it was really just a neighborhood driven effort to help address the problem, and we've been helping and supporting them along the way.
So Clifton comes to you first and says, we have this idea we want to try, and that's why we're headed.
Well, I think the first conversation was, you know, we have this problem. You know, we think that there's a problem. There's too many deer in Clifton, and these are what's happening as a result of too many deer. And we want to work with you, if you're interested, on coming up with a solution. And so then we researched what are all the possible solutions. What are the pros and cons of each? And then it became, you know, through a lot of those conversations, clear that what felt best for the people of Clifton was going with the option that was the most humane option and the most effective.
So if this is successful in Clifton, does it expand into other parts of the city?
We would love that. I mean, you know, we're not going to force this upon anyone. And of course, there'd have to be private fundraising for those projects. But we think that this could become a national model for neighborhoods like Clifton, not only in Cincinnati, but around the country.
Do you see a need for kind of a mixture of different approaches to dealing with this problem? Maybe some sterilization, some hunting, some managed, some marksmen being brought in to deal with this. Do you see a need for combining all those different types?
Sure.
Of
I mean, as they said, you know, maybe in a larger neighborhood or more wooded neighborhood, you know, hunting or sharpshooting is the best option. But you know, for a very urban neighborhood, lots of houses and kids around, you know, I think this probably would be the better option for those types of neighborhoods.
So, Lori, what's the time frame for this program?
White Buffalo is coming for phase one, the first year of the program, in mid-November. And basically, it will be conducted over a one-week period in November. The sterilizations will take place at night when the deer are most active and people aren't. So it'll be minimally disruptive to the use of the parks and the community because they'll be out there doing this in the middle of the night. But we hope to sterilize about 40 deer this fall. And then next fall, White Buffalo will come back and sterilize any deer missed in the first round, as well as any new immigrant deer to the area. But most of the work is going to be done this year.
So how do you determine, Christine, if this has been successful? And Lori, what are you looking for as signs that this program's working?
Oh boy, there are a bunch of them. But I think what we want to do first and foremost, Mark, is get the deer population down so that we have a healthy ecosystem and build in the other pieces that make that happen. Certainly having the deer down to a sustainable level, that's the first goal. Okay. Making people aware that there are things they can be doing too to lessen the damage, lessen the problems. That's also possible. We've got a bunch of information I think would be helpful for folks on our www.cliftondeer.org. We've learned a lot as well, and there's a ton of information there that folks could take a look at.
So, Laurie, what are you looking for in terms of this will be successful if I see this? What are you looking for?
Well, obviously, we want it'll be successful if it's humane and if it is effective in addressing the ecological problem by reducing the deer damage in our parks. It also, in a way, because this is research that's being carried out by white buffalo in, I think, 9 communities around the nation, in a way, even a failure is a success because we're learning from this. And with any scientific research, it's a success if you learn things you didn't know. And so even though this is a local program, it is going to have national implications because other communities can benefit from what we learned here. So that's a measure of success too.
Well, thanks everybody for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.